God's guaranteed plan for you is to have all-round success. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 23, and Genesis chapter 3, and verse 12. These are verses of scripture that we are familiar with. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Then we read chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Holy Spirit of God, give us light, give us understanding, and help us to apply your word accurately, in Jesus' name." All right, the title of our discussion is "Have What You Want, Want What You Have." Have what you want what you have. That's a question that I usually like to ask people. If you get what you want, will you want what you get? Some years ago, I had the opportunity to buy a brand new Mercedes car. I love the Mercedes brand. I remember the first Mercedes car that I bought was a fairly used one, imported fairly used, which we call Tocombo. But I can assure you, it was very neat. I was happy to be able to drive a Mercedes car. It's just in a class of its own. So when I had the opportunity then to get a brand new one, wow, that was exciting. Well, the day we were to take it off the workshop or the car shop, they spent so much time washing it, cleaning it, putting wax on it. They polished it, and the thing was shining. But by the time they were through, it was night. It was dark. We drove the car out of the showroom and decided to drive into a petrol station to get some fuel. And that was when the air conditioning system packed up. I mean, this petrol station was close to the car shop. We were still a long way from home, and the air conditioning system packed up. The next morning, I called the car dealer on the phone. They sent somebody down who rectified it. The air conditioning system was working again. But then, you see, that second day was the day my wife was to arrive from a trip out of the country. There was a reason why I wanted to get that car out. So, in the evening, I took the car, drove towards the airport to pick my babe. On the way to the airport, the air conditioning system packed up. Gratefully, I don't know why, but I just sensed before we left home that I should ask that her own car should be driven after mine. So, when we got to the airport, and I walked her out of the airport, she saw the car and said, "Is that the car?" I said, "Yes." Oh, she was happy, and she was walking towards the car. Then I nudged her away from the car. I said, "Well, we're not using that car now. Let's use this other car. And she said, what happened? I said, I will explain later. I was so frustrated, so angry, they spoiled my show. I was going to impress my babe and see what they did. See, if you get what you want, will you want what you get? Because we live in a world that is not perfect, but because God gave us the imagination, we have the capacity to put paintbrush on the things or the people that we want. We have the capacity to tone them up here a little, there a little, and then in our imagination, we have a perfect world. We have a perfect car or a perfect house or a perfect wife or a perfect husband. Now, after you have gotten what you want, will you really, really want it? The first time Adam set his eyes on Eve, the guy was screaming. He was shouting. Wow! His heart had been longing for a connection. He had examined all the animals, no being qualified. And then came this damsel. Woo! This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. There's one translation of the Bible that I read. I've forgotten which one it is now. And what he said was translated to be something like, wow, where have you been all the time? All right? And I think that's more accurate, really, because I don't know. When I toasted my wife, I wasn't saying, oh, I want you to be bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. That doesn't sound romantic, all right? Adam was excited when he saw Eve, the same man. Now, after something went wrong, he was telling God, the woman that you gave me, she caused the problem, all right? There is this popular prayer that was said by St. Francis Xavier. God grant me the courage to change the things I can change, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. God grant me courage to change the things I can change, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. See, in life, there are things that God has put within our control, and there are things that God has put beyond our control. Trying to control the things we cannot control is one of the easiest ways to key into frustration in this life. Learning to accept our spouse is one of the greatest secrets of a happy marriage. Trying to change your husband or your wife is one of the greatest keys to frustration and tension in marriage. So my encouragement today is for us to learn to accept our husband or wife the way he or she is. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 13, Solomon said something to that effect. He said, consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? There's a way God has made some things, and there's a way God has made certain people. And except we want to pretend to be God, we need to accept the fact that we cannot remake human beings. Only God has the capacity to do so. The key word is acceptance, learning to accept a person the way the person is, because God made us all different from one another. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, we see God's attitude to us. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. God is so gracious And because of that, he overlooks our sins. The psalmist said, if the Lord will mark iniquity, who will stand? There's no perfect person anywhere. And if we're going to expect people to change, to become perfect, before we relax, to accept them, and to enjoy them, we'll have to wait forever. In our fantasy, we paint the picture of a perfect husband. As soon as we get married, we confront the reality. He is not the perfect husband you were looking for. We have women, this picture of a perfect wife that we want. And as soon as we get married, we realize the person we married is not the perfect wife that we had in our fantasy. So what should we do? Accept people the way they are. If God would mark iniquity, you will not come into the church. Now, you will not be qualified. In fact, some of us would have our names given to Interpol and international agencies. Some of us would have been excommunicated by God with angels holding swords specifically on the watch out for us to drive us away from church with the kind of atrocities that we committed in rebellion against God. But God, in his mercy and because of his grace, decided to overlook all of our mistakes and our sins and to accept us the way we are. And his own approach is that when he loves us, showers us with love, we will have the motivation to change. We will have the motivation to want to please him. So really, the way to create the atmosphere for someone to change is to love the person. Amen. Good. I want to encourage us to accept our spouses in some specific areas. Number one, accept the temperament of your spouse. Accept the temperament or personality style of your spouse. Some people are extroverts. Some people are introverts. There is no point getting frustrated over that fact. It is something you can never change. Accept the person the way the person is. Tim and Beverly LaHaye wrote several books on temperaments. And they said there are four types. You have two kinds of extroverts. You have the sanguine, and that is the jovial person. That's the excitable person. That's the friendly person, sociable person. That's the person who's always responding to what goes on in the environment. Very friendly. Makes friends quickly. The live wire of every conversation or social gathering. Alright? And then you have the other kind of extrovert that they describe as the choleric. This person is extroverted, quite all right, but more serious-minded. This person is goal-oriented. Goal-oriented. This person has the capacity to achieve results, whatever it will take. They don't mind stepping on people's toes to achieve their goals. But they can be very friendly and jovial. Then you have the introverts, two kinds of them. You have the phlegmatic, who is the guy who is always cool, calm, and collected. Likes to take life easy, okay? No hazards. Tries to maintain the peace at all costs, okay? And then you have the melancholy. That's the deeply introverted person, very creative person. They say that this person has likely the richest of the temperaments. Of course, the person is very creative, usually artistic or musical. This person is usually a genius, so to speak. Anyway, in marriage, the interesting scenario is that opposites attract. Now, it doesn't work perfectly like that all the time. You have exceptional cases. But in most instances, men who are extroverted marry women who are introverted. Men who are introverted marry women who are extroverted. Because the extroverted person is always amused, always carried away by the calmness and the quietness of this other person.
You know, the extroverted person is a chatterbox. And then you come across someone who can keep quiet for 1 hour straight. They can't understand it. What they don't have is what the other person has. More importantly, somebody who talks needs somebody who will keep quiet to listen so that they can have the opportunity to talk. Okay, you can imagine two talkatives marrying themselves. So who's going to listen to who, all right? Wait, let me finish my own. No. I want to talk first, all right? Anyway, the man who is introverted, who doesn't speak much, he's, you know, fascinated by the lady who speaks, who is expressive, you know, by the lady who can crack jokes, who is humorous, and who is charming, you know. So opposites attract. Maybe what we need to also know about the temperaments is the fact that each of the temperaments also has weaknesses. The extroverted man, the sanguine, usually is not very disciplined. So, may not be very disciplined with food, usually has a large appetite, may not be disciplined with time, and may not be... Now, this is not true for everyone, but sometimes may not be very disciplined with keeping the environment very, very perfectly neat, like the introverted person would. So they may not, as long as we are happy, you know, it doesn't mind if you come from work, pull up the shoes, put the shoes here, take the socks, throw it here, as long as we are having a nice time, you understand? And if he's having fun, he's likely to forget his next appointment. Until they have exhausted the enjoyment in the present scenario, and then may now be running. And when he comes in, because he's always excited, he comes in with energy, busting and says, "Hey, what's going on? Ah, sweetheart, man. Hold that." He wants to carry on like that. And somebody is already frustrated who is waiting. So what are you going to do? And the likelihood is that this excitable man is married to someone who is introverted and very neat, very organized. Someone who, when she puts a bottle of perfume here, if you move it, she will know somebody moved her bottle of perfume. That's an exciting combination, isn't it? So instead of worrying your head off, getting frustrated, running up all those negative emotions, and hurting your health, relax and accept your husband or wife for who she is. You cannot change that temperament. Even he or she cannot change that temperament. So the earlier you accept it, the better. And then create the environment in love that will motivate, because you should still communicate the things that frustrate you anyway and challenge your spouse to improve in certain areas. But if you do it in love, if you show love, shower love, love is the greatest motivator in the world. In order to please you, the person will begin to make effort to improve in the weak areas. Secondly, accept the family and background of your spouse. Accept the family or background of your spouse. I guarantee you, if your husband or wife had the choice, he or she would likely have chosen to be born by President George Bush and to be born an American. Listen, people don't choose their families. It is God who chooses people's families for them. So given the fact that this person's already been born through this family, you have to accept that family for what it is. There is no perfect family anywhere. Each family has their own issues. What you should be grateful for is that this person came through that experience and especially met the Lord. Amen. Accept people for who they are. And in the event that people don't meet up to your standards, just always remember what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. When people know better, they will act better. That's why you should always learn to pray for them. And then next, accept the masculinity or femininity of your spouse. Accept the masculinity or femininity of your spouse. In other words,
Don't ever forget,
if you're a lady,
your husband is a man.
If you're a man, your wife is a woman. And last Sunday, that was what Pastor Kenny was sharing with us on gender differences. Men are just different from women. For example, men have, by design, better spatial ability than women. Now, please remember in all of these that there are always exceptions. Maybe 1 in 4 or 1 in 5, but there are always exceptions. Good. So we make room for that. But generally, men have more spatial ability, which means that men can measure distances between two objects or two points more accurately than a woman can. That's why we have more men as pilots. And the way men drive is different from the way women drive. Men are more aggressive and more daring in their driving because they trust in their ability to measure the distance between them and the next car. See, when a man is driving at high speed, there's a car going in front and he comes pretty close. At a point, a woman becomes agitated. But the man is getting that close because he believes that when that car slows down, he can quickly recognize when it's slowing down so he can respond. Maybe another way it works. Have you watched men and women trying to reverse into a parking lot where it's only one space left out of 20 car parking spaces? Do they drive differently? I think so. It looks like men get it faster than women do. It's because of the way our brains are wired. Okay? They are basic differences. If a man does not understand that, he gets frustrated over it. In fact, he would never allow his wife to drive while he's there. When she's trying to reverse and she's being extra careful and she's doing a 3-point turn where he will turn only once, saying, what are you driving now? Leave her alone. Your wife is a woman. The way we talk is different, like we discussed last week. Women give the details. Men go straight to the point. Because usually men have what you call tunnel vision. It's one way, but it sees far ahead. A woman takes in the environment. Women are more detailed than men. They take in more details. That is what shows up when they talk. It's not a problem. It's an advantage, sir. Men will overlook many things that women will not overlook. That's why it's important for you to listen to your wife. Of course, I know that for a man, sometimes it can be very frustrating. What you would say in one sentence, she would say with so many words. She would start with a preamble and then go into the main thing, and while going on the main course, branch off to the left and repeat a story that she told you 144 times before. And a man is agitated and wants, say what you want to say. And in the event that you know what she's trying to say, you help her to finish that story quickly so that she can move on. Hey, you are making a serious mistake. She's enjoying that process. In fact, you need to know this about women, that whereas men need to keep quiet and withdraw inside to think, women need to talk to think. Women think while talking. Men wonder, don't you think? Men use words to communicate facts. Women use words to communicate feelings. We take what she's saying as the end result of our thinking process. We don't realize what she's saying is part of the thinking process. If we understood, we would have kept quiet and let her finish. And the likelihood is she will end where you will also end. But she needs to go through, explore all those different options and all of that. Amen. Women, you need to understand men are different from you. So, you need to try to be more direct when you talk to your man. And then with time also, help your man to understand your language, to understand what you mean when you say certain things. When you say, I know you don't love me. You know what a man hears? An accusation. And being the senior advocate of his life, he immediately begins to gather arguments and facts to disprove what you just said. But of course, that's not what you meant. What you mean is that you want him to say, I love you. That's what you are saying. Ah, Jesus. For a man, he needs the gift of interpretation of tongues to understand that kind of a language, all right? So he needs coaching. Maybe I should say quickly to the women in the house that men are sexually stimulated differently from the way women are sexually stimulated. And that from the wiring of a man, he is impressed immediately by the sight of a beautiful woman. Men look. It's the design. That's why we have Miss Nigeria contest, Miss World. Mr. Nigeria is not that popular. Either to the man or to the woman, the sight of a naked man has little or no value. But a woman, something goes on in a man's brain when he sees a beautiful woman, okay? If you're a married woman, use that to your advantage inside your bedroom. You can distract him from anything he's doing if you are smart enough, okay? Anyway, the point here is that when you are going on the street, there is a chance that he may look sideways when a beautiful lady is passing by. I know that for you ladies, that's a big issue. Because of the way you are designed, that's a big issue. What is he looking at? So it's not unusual for you to tell him while he's driving and look face front. Ah. All right. I'm just trying to let you know, looking once is not a crime. See, if you make too much trouble about his looking, then when you are around, he will hold himself to look straight. But when you are not there, he will look. He will look. Why don't you get involved in the process? That's right. Why don't you get involved in the process? If he looks, ask him, that's a beautiful lady, isn't it? Usually he will not respond because he won't be sure. He won't be sure of where you are going, you know. But of course, see, if both of you want to be open, that's a beautiful lady, isn't it? Yes, but if you're a man and you are smart enough, you should quickly, because what she's asking you is, good, that girl is beautiful, but where am I relative to her? And if you are smart, you say, well, she looks okay, but I mean, you are Miss World. You are my Miss Universe. All right, let's try and wrap it up quickly. Accept the physical looks of your spouse. That's another one. Accept the physical looks of your spouse. Can you create a human being? Accept the physical looks of your spouse. Especially with aging, changes are bound to come. You married this young man in his 20s or 30s. Now he's going 50. His hair is falling off. What are you going to do about that? Help him to take care of whatever is left. and crack jokes over it. What do you want to do? It's just the course of nature. Oh, mister, you did whatever you did to her. Now she has 3 kids. She's changed. Her figure's changed a little bit. So what do you want to do about it? Compliment her looks. Compliment her. Accept her the way she is. And then the last one, accept the weaknesses in your spouse's character. Accept the weaknesses in your spouse's character. Maybe I should add here that if you're a man on the looking issue, if you're looking creates problems for your wife, stop looking. And then secondly, after you have looked once, what you do after that is the real issue, because your most important sex organ is your mind. Don't fantasize with other people who are not your wife. That's important. Anyway, accept your spouse's weaknesses, knowing this. There's no perfect husband anywhere. There's no perfect wife anywhere. Even you are not perfect. People have strengths. They have weaknesses. Accept it. That's
how he is. You know, that's how he is. Just
take it like that. Work it into the equation. And don't create unnecessary tension in your marriage just because your husband or your wife has 1 or 2 weaknesses. In fact, that is why you are in the person's life, to complete him or her. Now, how do we create an atmosphere for our spouse to change? Number one, pursue peace and not quarreling. Pursue peace and not quarreling. Romans chapter 12 and verse 18 says, as much as lies within your power, live peaceably with all men. That means you should do everything possible to get peace in your home. Don't be the one who provokes your spouse. Don't be the one who starts the quarrels. As much as possible, pursue peace. Okay? Good. Secondly, commit your spouse to God in prayer. Commit your spouse to God in prayer. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. You know what? Quarreling, complaining, nagging, fighting, even beating physically will never bring peace into your home. It will only make things worse. And may I say this? That cannot change your husband or wife into the kind of a person that you desire. In fact, what quarreling and nagging and fighting will do is to make the person change for the worse. Learn to pray for your husband. Learn to pray. Almighty God has resources that are infinitely more than you have. He can use time to change your husband or your wife. He can use just one sermon to change your husband or your wife. He can use a discussion with a friend to influence your husband or your wife. He can use a mentor. He can use a seminar. He can use a book. God can use many things. He can even use nature to teach your husband a lesson. Learn to pray and commit your spouse to God. I got a call yesterday from someone who watched Success Power in the morning yesterday in Abuja. And he said he had told his wife Friday night while he was going into sleep, she was watching a movie, and he had told her, shut down everything, please. We don't need to use all our money to pay NEPA or PHCN. When he woke up in the morning because someone was pressing the bell, he stepped into the living room. His wife left everything the way they were. All the lights were on. The living room was chilled. The air conditioning system was on. He was angry. He opened the door for his friend, wanted to turn to go meet his wife, and saw Success Power on TV. So he sat down. And I was teaching on responsibility being a combination of response and ability. That between the time someone does something to you and when you respond, there's a split second within which you have the power to choose how to respond. And exercising that power is responsibility. So he sat down. So by the time we were discussing, 4 hours after the broadcast, he said, you are the one who saved my wife this morning. Then he said, hold on. Then he called his wife and said, you don't even know what you did this morning. The man who saved you is the one I'm talking to on phone. Hold on for it. All right? Learn to pray. And then give the Word of God and the Holy Spirit final say over your emotions and your ideas. It's remarkable how many Christians will disobey the Word of God, will argue with the Word of God and not do the right thing. Give the Word of God and the Holy Spirit final authority over your emotions and ideas. And finally, always focus on the positive qualities in your spouse and celebrate them. Always focus on the positive qualities. See, it was those qualities you saw before you got married. Those qualities have not left. They're still there. But you need to look for them. Pay attention to them. Pick at least one of them every single day and compliment your husband or your wife. Celebrate those positive qualities. See, in life, what you look for is what you find. If you are out to look for what is negative, you will find abundance of that. If you are out to look for what is positive, you will find abundance of that. Make your home a haven of peace. Matthew 5 verse 9, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So the proof that you are a child of God is your willingness to maintain peace in your home. And today, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, we speak peace. Where there has been tension, where there has been trouble, where there has been strife, I ask that today you reach out to your husband or your wife and forgive. Say, I've forgiven you everything. In fact, I forgive you up front the mistakes and the offenses you will commit against me for the next 25 years. That is advanced forgiveness. Amen. And live a happy and joyful life. I pray in the name of Jesus that where the joy has gone, joy is restored back into our homes today. Favor is restored into our homes today. Your marital destiny will be fulfilled. Whatever Satan stole is returned back into your life today in Jesus' mighty name. May I pray very quickly for the person in this service who says, "Pastor, see, in the first place, my relationship with God is not okay. I want God to forgive me my sins. I want God to be involved in my life. I don't want the thing that destroyed people's lives out there destroy my own life also. I want God to forgive me." And while we're waiting to do that, I'd like to say this prayer first to those on TV. Well, we are excited that you joined us on this broadcast today. And just in case you want us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that you are loving, and I ask you to forgive me because Jesus died for my sins on the cross. Accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. If you just said that prayer, write us to let us know. That's the most powerful decision of your life you ever made. And find a Bible-believing church to attend so you can grow and mature spiritually. Thank you for being a part of this broadcast today. Till we see again, same time next week, keep on succeeding. God bless you. Bye for now. All right. If you're right here in this auditorium and you want us to pray together for forgiveness of sins, I want every head bowed in prayer. As we pray, this is the most powerful prayer we could ever pray in this service. My lifestyle is not right with God. I want God to forgive me my sins. Or you say, "I've been a Christian before, really, but I have backslidden into sin. If Jesus Christ comes now, I am not absolutely certain I will make heaven. I want God to forgive me." Can you please put your hand on your heart where you are? I'd like to pray with you very quickly. This prayer won't be more than 2 minutes, but it will change your life. Can you put your hand on your heart? "I want God to forgive me my sins." If your hand is on your heart, can you please stand by your chair where you are very quickly and let's pray. We'll be done in 1 minute. Can you stand? God bless you, my sister. God bless you. God bless you, my brother. Can you stand? You know you should be part of this prayer. As we ask God for forgiveness of sins, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says all we have to do is to ask Him for forgiveness. He literally changes our lives. God bless you for standing. If you're standing, please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for hearing my prayer and for accepting me in Jesus' name. We thank you, mighty God, for everyone standing, and we believe that the power of the Holy Spirit destroys the nature of sin and the nature of the devil from their lives today. We thank you for this miracle of transformation in Jesus' name. Amen. You may please have your seats. Let's give them a big God bless you for making this decision. God bless you. God bless you. If you said that prayer, congratulations.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed. For additional tapes, CDs, and books, please contact us through the address on this CD. God bless you.